Ready to do the thing?
Yeah, do the thing. Oh, wait, I do the thing. Hello, and welcome to Thing of the Week, a podcast where two nerds talk about their most recent obsessions. I'm the one that's called Nick.
And I'm the artist formerly known as Luke. And also currently known as Luke. And you can find us almost every Monday at noon Central Time on Apple Podcasts, Breaker, Google Podcasts, Overcast, Pocket Cast, Radio Public, Spotify, and Copy RSS.
How do you do?
I do good.
It's been so long we forgot how to talk.
Man, lockdown was long. I don't know how to interact with people anymore. So Mel and I are several weeks removed from our second vaccination, so we've started like going to restaurants and stuff.
Yeah.
And we went to a fairly crowded brunch place today, and I know that I have no real reason to be concerned because, you know, we're immune now, but also I've spent the last year developing this
anxiety,
this apprehension. Oh. Yeah, this sort of social anxiety, you know, more than not the one I had before, but a different one, brand new version of social anxiety.
Oh yeah,
this apprehension about like crowds, and you know, I've never liked crowds, but like Right. Now I'm like super aware of just how disgusting humans are.
Oh yeah,
and it's something that I'm gonna have to get used to, I guess.
Yeah. Although, I mean, it's probably not bad for, like, all of us from here forward, whether we're immune or not, to maybe practice better health standards anyway, you know.
Yeah.
I think, you know, just in the interest of making the world a better place, I think it's probably, you know, not all bad that we're all a little bit more aware now.
I agree. If I get like a flu or something and I go to Walgreens, I'm wearing a mask. I never used to do that, but I'm doing that now. Why wouldn't I?
It just, you know, it's kind of the obvious thing to do that, like, looking back is kind of like, oh my God, like, we used to just go to the pharmacy just with the flu. Like, that was a thing that people did, or like, you know, like, yeah, so no. Oh yeah.
Yeah. It's wild. And I went back to hockey this week.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so today was the first time I played hockey in about 6 months.
Oh, God.
Maybe 7 months. It's been a while.
So you're dead.
I thought I would be deceased, but I am still among the living. So.
Well, that's good.
But, I actually found that I thought I'd be falling on my ass all day, but actually I found the thing that deteriorated the most was probably my hockey sense, or what little of it I had.
Yeah, right.
Like we did a little scrimmage at the end of practice, and I found myself like passing the puck like towards the guy in my own crease. Like what the, like towards my own goal? Like why would I do that?
Yeah.
That's not smart.
No, not quite. But you know, you'll get it back. You'll get it back.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
It'll come back.
No. We had our last week of bowling for the season a couple of weeks ago, and we placed second place in the league, which is fun. I rarely place in these leagues, so that was nice.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah. Oh yeah. We were literally like 2 or 3 points away. So the way it works in this particular league is that you bowl against a team, you play 3 games, and you get a point for each game you win, and then if you win, then there's a 4th point you get for winning the whole series. So there's 4 points total to get in each week. And our very last week, we had to earn all 4 points in order to sneak into first place, and we were like 1 or 2 points shy. So it did kind of get a little bit competitive there towards the last game when we're looking up and we're like, oh my God, we're only a few pins shy here, and you know, but still we wound up taking second instead, which is I'm immensely happy with. So
second is respectable.
Yeah, yeah. It's better than I usually
Someone call it first loser.
Exactly. You know what? I'll take first loser.
I wouldn't, but you know, if you wanna just like ruminate on that, then that's your call.
You know, depending on what kind of mood I'm in, I think, you know, I can take it from both perspectives, right? Like, you know.
I'm just being a dick. That actually is awesome.
I know. Oh yeah. No, you wouldn't be my friend if you didn't tease me a little bit.
So friends do.
Exactly.
All right, so you have a thing?
I do have a thing. I talked about it a little bit on the last episode, but my thing is the Adventure Zone.
Yes.
Because the first episode of the new campaign started on Thursday.
Okay.
And I listened to it, and I like it so far. So it's a little bit different. I explained to you a little bit about what the show is, and you know, they play role-playing games and tell stories and all of that. Well, for this season or campaign, they're going back, they're gonna keep playing Dungeons and Dragons 5th edition. But before they do that, they're playing a game called The Quiet Year. And what The Quiet Year is, it's kind of like a collaborative world building game. Where the players kind of work out the history and the geography of the world that they're going to be playing in. So that's what we're currently in right now. So we haven't really hit any stories or characters yet. Like the McElroys haven't even rolled characters for this campaign yet. But I have a feeling that they're probably a few weeks ahead of where we, the listeners, are, if that makes sense.
Okay.
But this campaign is, it's called Aethersea, which is a weird name. I don't quite understand it yet, but, when I first heard about this campaign, the first thing I thought was BioShock.
Okay. I didn't even know you played BioShock.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I never finished it, but I played through a few times. I played through chunks of it.
Okay.
I like the lore of BioShock more than I liked the actual game, but that's just because my attention span for games is piss poor.
I can totally understand that.
Yeah.
I wasn't a big fan of the combat, but I thought that like the lore and the world building and like specifically the environmental storytelling was top notch.
You glitched out though. What kind of storytelling?
The environmental story.
Oh, yes. Oh, God, yeah. No, that was fantastic.
Like, you walk in a room and you see, like, Happy New Year and, like, just, like, all these abandoned, like, party hats and wine flutes and...
Right.
And things like that. Or, like, the when you come across the lady who's got the stroller and then you look in the stroller and there's a gun in the stroller.
Right, like, yeah.
Just crazy. Anyway, you were saying.
Anyway, so this campaign is going to be set in an underwater civilization. And I want to make a remark about something that was said in this first episode, because it relates to BioShock and it also reveals a little bit of my bias, but I don't really mind.
Okay,
so
you mean your bias shock?
My bias shock. So as they were discussing this world, one of the players, Travis McElroy, the middlest brother, started going on an Andrew Ryan type tear, and Ayn Rand type tear of, you know, something, I can't remember the exact line, but is a man not entitled to the sweat of his brow or something like that. And the guy, Griffin, the guy who's running the game, said basically point blank, I don't know if you are referencing BioShock or Ayn Rand, but either way, we're not doing that. And that set off a really interesting discussion on Reddit, because, you know, I don't know how you feel. I'm pretty sure I know how you feel, but Ayn Rand kind of sucks shit.
Go on.
So, I don't know. Do you know anything about objectivism?
Just from a high level. Okay. I own copies of Atlas Shrugged and The Fountainhead.
Okay.
But I never actually read them.
Okay.
So, you know, I can talk all the shit I want, but I can't actually back it up.
Right. I think even though in my opinion, the contents of those books and the messages of those books are kind of garbage. I still think it's probably worth reading. Just, you know,
I would agree with
it's
that.
Useful to have the perspective from the people that you disagree with. But anyway, it set off a really
completely
fun
agree.
Yes. Easier said than done, though. But yes. it set off a really interesting conversation on Reddit, which I had a lot of fun with, just about the kind of political nature of the whole thing. Because the other thing that's kind of the setup for this story is that it almost takes a page out of Breath of the Wild 2, where mm-hmm. the beginning of this story is actually going to take place quite a while after the fall of this civilization. And the premise is that magic is a resource in this world, and using magic essentially, I'm trying to think of the metaphor they use, but basically they're using it as a metaphor for like climate change.
Mm-hmm.
So the price for using magic is irreparable damage to the environment, and the people of this world had used magic so much to the point where they really basically destroyed the world and had no choice but to go underwater. So there's been a lot of conversations about whether or not this particular campaign is going to be more politically charged than the other ones. Personally, I think it will. I hope it will. I kind of want to see it go that direction. So, you know, but we'll, I don't know. We have yet to see because we don't even know who our characters are going to be yet.
Okay.
But buried under all of this is the, I mean, ooh, it's generous to call it discourse around the season that just wrapped up. Again, I touched on it briefly. It was called Graduation. And it was the first campaign that wasn't ran by Griffin McElroy. It was ran by the middle brother, Travis.
Okay.
And about the only thing that is mostly agreed on is that it wasn't very popular.
Okay.
Other than that, it's pretty much been a constant drag-out fight within the community. And a lot of really kind of cringy psychoanalysis of these guys who nobody, you know, we don't know these people, and I'll confess I have probably participated in that myself. But it was, a lot of people felt like the actions taken by Travis, the DM, were bad in a lot of ways and kind of manipulative, and there was some kind of weird, like, queer baiting and like race baiting and things like that that got a little bit cringe. But then I don't know, like, I can talk all day about that particular thing on this particular show, because every season has had a certain amount of, at least a certain amount of queer baiting that has been sometimes effective and other times absolutely cringy. But that's what happens when you have four straight white dudes like doing their best to, have inclusion and be inclusive and accepting of everybody. But at the same time, they are still four like cisgendered straight white guys.
Yeah.
So there's challenges there, but you know, I personally always appreciated the effort, but it's kind of been such a weird thing because like the last season was wrapped up in a hurry.
Okay.
Because of how negative the reaction was. And there's like a lot of conversations as to whether or not the franchise has been damaged in an irrevocable way. And how much of that has been part of the creators or how much of that is at the fault of the community. I kind of personally lean more towards the latter on that one. I think that the community kind of, certain parts of the community have gotten extremely toxic and divided, but what
As fandoms often do.
Exactly. I do kind of feel like this new campaign might, and I hope that it breathes some new fresh air into the community and kind of maybe calms things down a little bit. There's always been a certain, ever since the beginning of this show, there's been a certain contingent of the community that is always unhappy. Again, it's a fandom. That's how it goes.
Mm-hmm.
Things like Reddit only make it worse.
Yep.
But all that being said, I'm really optimistic about this new season. Unfortunately, I don't have a lot to talk about as far as story and stuff. So, you know, I can kind of talk. I kind of wanted to talk about some of the other campaigns, just to sort of, I don't know, have an opportunity to talk about it. So the first season of the Adventure Zone, and when I say season, I'm using it really roughly because like a season on the Adventure Zone can last anywhere from 6 months to 2 years.
Okay.
Really just depends on the story.
I have the first couple episodes downloaded, but I have not listened to them yet. I've not been listening. I've been most of my listening has either been music or audiobooks. So
same.
I wish I could comment more on this, but please go on.
Oh, that's okay. I will not give any spoilers. The first season is called Balance. That's the name that they gave the campaign. And it's basically it's set in a pretty traditional D&D world. The campaign actually started as a pre-written campaign out of a book, but that was abandoned pretty quickly. And essentially, it's these three characters. There's Taco the Wizard, Magnus the Fighter, and Merle the Cleric. And they are tasked with recovering the 7 grand relics.
Okay.
And, oh boy, that becomes a big ride. And there's some... there's a big, big, big secret. There's a couple of big, big, big secrets that you find out about halfway through. And I'm not going to go any further than that because it's kind of massive. But,
okay.
It became an incredibly emotional story. Part of that is because it did run for like over 2 years. The other part of it is that it managed to end in a really satisfying way, which is kind of hard for shows like this. Not all of the loose ends got tied up, but most of them did, and most of them did in a fairly satisfying way. So much so that that's still balanced. The first season is still kind of the standard that most people use for what a season of The Adventure Zone should be. I personally think it's a little bit unfair because I kind of feel like balance was lightning in a bottle. And trying to capture that over and over again is a hard order, right? So like trying to capture the same emotional weight in a different story, it's just... you're always going to wind up disappointed. So I think it's kind of, I don't know, my feeling on a show like this, it's essentially an anthology series, right? So like, I don't know, trying to capture lightning in a bottle 2, 3, 4 times is a little bit of a fool's errand, I think. I'm kind of all over the place, but that brings me to the second season, which is not actually my favorite, and it is wildly different. It's called Amnesty.
Okay.
And it is played using Monster of the Week, which is a RPG system that, like, there's not so much... it's not so much of a focus on combat as it is on events and things like that. It's I don't know, it's hard to explain the rules, but it lends itself to a narrative type thing pretty well. And Amnesty is set in it's more of an urban fantasy. It's set in our world.
Okay.
In a fictional town called Kepler, West Virginia, where there is the Green Bank Telescope. And because of this telescope, it is a radio quiet zone, so there's no, like, you know, very limited cell phones, that kind of thing. So not a lot of technology there. But that actually turns out to not be quite as important to the story as the rest of it. There is, in this town, there's a hotel called the Amnesty Lodge. And out back of this lodge, there's a stone archway that nobody can see. And about every couple of months, the monsters come, basically.
Okay.
They call them abominations, and they come and they terrorize the town. And it is up to the three characters, Duck Newton, Aubrey Little, and Ned Chicane, to basically fight them off. What I like about this particular season is that the characters are just so great. Like, Duck Newton is a park ranger. He's a forest ranger who finds out he's actually a secret chosen warrior. And he has, like, secret powers and a talking sword. That's pretty rad.
Okay.
Aubrey Little is a stage magician who learns that she can do real magic. And then there's Ned Chicane, who is the best character that ever happened in the Adventure Zone.
Okay.
He's played by the father of the group, Clint McElroy. And he is a business owner. He runs a place in this town called the Cryptonomica. And it's essentially like a monster museum. Because this town is kind of a touristy trap place for cryptids. Cryptozoology, you know, that kind of thing. He runs this monster museum, and he doesn't believe in any of it. He's essentially a con man. But of course, he learns that this is all real, because, and I want to circle back to that lodge, and the people that live at that lodge, they're cryptids. Bigfoot lives in this lodge.
Mm.
And so, like, everybody kind of gets dumped into this world of, like, all monsters are real kind of thing, and it's... I love those types of stories. And so I think that's kind of what I keyed into on that one. But also just the kind of small town Stephen King kind of vibe too was really fun. And Amnesty, like I said, season 2 is my favorite. But yeah.
Cool. I like that. That does sound fun. Okay, so you said the second season, this is the second season you were describing, right? Amnesty?
Yeah, yeah.
With the small town in our world, and the cryptid museum, and then you said the new season that's coming out soon is about like the underwater world that's evocative of things like BioShock, right?
Yes.
All right. And what was the what's like the general setting of the first season?
Typical D&D fantasy.
Oh, right. You said that. Yeah. You said that.
Faerun, essentially, which is kind of the world that D&D takes place in.
Okay.
Yeah. The third season. Oh, boy. I got to confess, I did not listen to the entire third season.
Okay.
It isn't great. It's called Graduation. And the premise is... probably where it all started to go wrong. And I'll explain why in a minute. So the premise of the show, or of this, of Graduation, is there is a Hogwartsy type school where people are either trained as heroes or villains or hench people. Okay. So in this world, the economy is kind of based on this idea that, like, heroes and villains kind of work for the same thing. Villains are paid to go do bad things, and heroes are paid to go stop them, essentially. But the school actually focuses on the show actually focuses on the hench people part of the school and not the heroes and villains. And where I think that premise kind of falls apart is that there are too many hoops to jump through just to get to the premise.
Okay.
Like, there's too many layers there, I think. And it's also just, like, kind of a, like... it's a thing that the more I explain the premise of the way the school and, like, the hench person part of the school all works, it just really... it's convoluted, I think, in my opinion.
Okay.
And really, like, honestly, I can't comment too much on much about the story because I only made it a few episodes in before I kind of decided it really wasn't for me. The main issue that I had with it early on was just pacing. I mean, I went through like 10 episodes and like nothing happened. So I don't know if you're ever gonna binge. I would
skip that season.
I would skip that season. Yeah.
Okay.
I think honestly, I might. Maybe a year from now, I'm thinking I might go and binge listen to Graduation all the way through. But right now, there's just too much drama attached to it. And it's kind of hard not to let that color my take on it. So I know even if I listen to it now, I'm going to be expecting to hear something awful. And that's kind of what I'm only going to be listening for. So I want to put some distance before I give it I want to give it a fair shot eventually, but I just don't think I'm able to do that right now.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, I respect that.
But, yeah, no, this fourth season, I have a lot of hope for. I'm curious. I think we got two more episodes of world building before we get into this story proper.
Okay.
And so, this is the perfect time to jump on to new episodes.
Okay.
Because these seasons are not connected whatsoever. That's the nice part about it, is that when they start a new campaign, that's the perfect time for new listeners to jump on.
Okay.
Because nothing in this campaign has anything to do with the last three.
Okay, so I can start listening now, and I don't need the years and years of
No.
episodes that they've put into this beforehand.
Nope.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, so like if you wanted to start listening to Ether Sea, you could do so now.
Okay, so I gotta ask, when it comes to performative tabletop role-playing games, the big name out there is Critical Role. Have you ever gotten into that?
I like Critical Role. I don't watch it as much. Like, did they have an audio version of Critical Role?
I do not know. I've never watched it, never listened to it.
Okay.
But I've got friends who are really into it.
Because, like, the only reason I don't watch a lot of it is because, like, you know, they're good hour-long episodes on YouTube, and they're really well-produced, and they have great players and great performers. I just don't have the time to sit down and watch the whole thing.
Yeah.
Now, if there was an audio version that I could just, like, get an RSS feed for and throw it into Pocket Casts, I'd probably listen to everything they did. But what I've watched, I do really like. They're players with a lot of experience. It's almost the opposite of the Adventure Zone in a lot of ways. Because the Adventure Zone, really, they have very limited experience with TTRPGs.
Okay.
And so, like, a lot of especially the early stuff, is them also figuring out how to play the game while telling the story. Which is, it's charming in its own way. Critical Role is kind of the opposite, where you have these sort of pretty well-established players, and they know how to tell a good story, and they know how to play good characters. And I mean, yeah, no, it's good stuff. I just need to watch more of it. But there are a ton of actual play podcasts and like series now. And Critical Role was kind of the driving force behind all of that.
Yeah.
You know, there's Drunks and Dragons, Dungeons and Daddies, Not Another D&D Podcast. And that's just the three I can think of off the top of my head. Nerd Poker, although that hasn't been around in years, but still. Actual play podcasts and shows have become a big deal now.
Okay, and The Adventure Zone is probably your favorite, it sounds like?
Yeah. I will say, more than being a fan of actual play podcasts, I am a fan of the McElroys. And that's the main reason why The Adventure Zone is my favorite. It's by no means the best. I just happen to like the people on the show more than anybody else.
Okay. Because of what you just said about how now is a good time to jump into the new season, I'm actually thinking maybe I should delete the first
Yeah.
three episodes from season one from my podcast app and just jump into season four.
You should. Yeah, that's actually a really good idea.
See.
Yeah, 'cause I think the first episode is there now, and for the first three episodes, it's going to be every Thursday, and then after that, it's going to go to every other Thursday. Because this show takes
Okay.
a ton of work to produce this show. So when they're doing like full like actual story episodes, it's every other week. I don't, you know, yeah, I don't know that they have the
All
time.
right.
So,
Well, there it is. Second on my
all
list. You
right,
can't
cool,
deny it. Yep.
cool.
Take it.
Ether-C
See ya.
Prologue 1, cool. Well, I hope you enjoy it. I'm anxious to see what the characters are going to be this season.
I hope I enjoy it too, but also part of me hopes that I don't because I have so many podcasts and I'm behind. So.
Yeah, I mean, I also know that feeling. I wound up unsubscribing to a bunch of them just because I had such a long back catalog of
Yeah.
like episodes of We Got This with Mark and Hal, and like actually I did wind up getting caught up on Judge John Hodgman, but like yeah,
See,
no.
the problem for me is I've been listening to audiobooks a lot
Yeah.
more lately. And I was going to talk about it this week, but I think maybe it can wait till next week. I can talk about the audiobook I've been listening to,
Yeah, that
because I
sounds
should be
good.
done with it by then.
Cool. I actually am in the middle of a new audiobook too, and I just got done with the Marvel Comics, the History of Marvel Comics audiobook. That was pretty cool. Main takeaway from that is that Stan Lee was kind of an asshole.
That's what I've heard.
I've already kind of knew about that, but
That's what I've heard that I've heard that he took credit
A
for
lot.
doing a much smaller percentage of the work than he actually did do and things like that. I don't know the details, but
Oh yeah. No, it was
maybe that's
there.
another podcast.
I think it might be because there's a lot to go in there into. But I did just start the book Console Wars, which I'm really, really enjoying so far.
Okay.
It's about
It's
the
about video game consoles?
Sega versus Nintendo in the 90s.
Okay.
So, you know, good stuff, good stuff. But again, we can talk about these on another show.
Okay. Awesome. Well, we are at about 34 minutes. Do you want
Cool.
to? Well, actually, that includes like 2 minutes of jibber jabber at the front. That
No,
doesn't even count.
yeah.
But we're over half an hour. I think we have a podcast.
I think we have a podcast.
All right, well, thank you everybody for listening to Thing of the Week with Luke and Nick. You can find us almost every Monday at noon Central Time on Apple Podcasts, Breaker, Google Podcasts, Overcast, Pocket Casts, Radio Public, Spotify, and Copy RSS. Goodbye.
See ya.